Hey, you guys, Lauren here. It has been a minute since we've recorded a new episode, so I wanted to leave a little surprise for everyone going back re-listening, or maybe you're listening for the first time. If you are interested in our graphic design contract template, you can use the code LOYALLISTENER for 50% off, making it $37.50. This is an awesome, thorough contract I made in collaboration with my lawyer, Kirsty Locke Miller. If you are insecure about your current contract, or maybe you don't have a contract, I would definitely recommend this one. You can find the link at our show notes and use the code LOYALLISTENER. Thanks for your support. Hello, and welcome to Design Beat, where we share the stories of creative women who dance to the beat of their own drum. We hope you come away uplifted, inspired, and encouraged to go for it. Today we have Shaylee Murphy, interior designer, video production company owner, videographer.
Nailed it. Mom, that's fine. Yeah.
Podcaster. Yeah. So excited to have you, Shaylee.
Thanks for having me. This was an honor. It's weird to be asked to be a guest, so it doesn't happen every day.
Yeah. You don't have to be the
weight carrier
interviewer.
Yeah. I just get to sit and hopefully answer questions in a cohesive manner.
You're going to do great.
Thanks.
So I discovered your podcast. I've been trying to remember how long ago it was. It must have been, how long have you been doing it for?
We started when my daughter was 4 months old and she is 6 now.
Oh my gosh.
So
yeah. So I had my 6-year-old was also a baby, mm-hmm. and I was young mom, designer, and I was trying, I didn't have any like design friends, and I was trying to find like some sort of community. So I think I just searched. Did your podcast used to be called Design Moms, or was that just in the
It was the tag. When we started, it was just Shaylee and Katie, and then it was like a Design Moms, find like work from home, something, I don't know. And we put like a DIY in the tags, and yeah.
So I probably just searched that.
Design
and
Moms.
Found you, and the rest is history.
Oh, well,
found
thank
my
you for
design
listening.
Mom friends. So I'm really excited to have you on. So our relationship isn't so one-sided, and I can be your friend too.
Yeah. Welcome to my world.
So happy to be here. Okay. So we always start off with, used to call them rapid fire questions, but they've literally never been rapid.
Okay.
So they're just
pretty
like,
good, just
I thought
normal
I was
questions.
To know you questions. I was like, I don't, is that not, you're not allowed to say it?
It could be.
It could be.
I thought, oh man, it's gone now. The term's gone.
I know. That actually has crossed my mind. Like, is that like weird to say? Like,
I've never thought about it until this moment. So now you know.
When you like put yourself out there, you think of every possible thing that could be offensive to anyone anywhere.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And you still offend people some
still
way.
Get offended just by the sound of your voice.
Yeah. You know.
It's great. You know. Okay. So, first question, always got to ask this one. What's your favorite snack?
Ooh. Am I being like a long-term sustainable healthy lifestyle snack or just whatever I want?
Your true favorite.
Right now, it is those Parmesan crisps.
Oh, I love those.
They're like, you can get them in cheddar, Parmesan, whatever. They have them at Aldi. They have them at Costco. But they're like
Trader
those little.
Trader Joe's.
Yeah. Well, we don't have Trader Joe's. Thank you for rubbing it in. I know.
I'm so sorry. We don't have little, Aldi's.
Well, yeah, we don't you're have not Aldi's. Missing. You're not missing out on anything if you have a Trader Joe's. So yeah, those little fried cheese crisps.
Yeah, I love those. Cheese. Yeah.
And
cheese
olives.
And crispy. You just can't beat it. And green olives. I love green olives.
I do. They have garlic stuffed green olives at Aldi.
Oh.
That I like. Yeah.
That sounds so good.
Yeah.
Okay. What is your favorite room in your house? Listeners, you need to go look up Shaylee's.
Oh. Oh, you're very
it's
sweet.
Amazing. So beautiful.
Favorite room in my house, I would say my kitchen maybe right now, just because it's where I spend the most time, like with the kids, and I feel like I'm there most of the time. I just finished halfway my attic, so that's also one of my favorite spaces because like no one comes up here but me.
Is
That's
that
where
where
I
you
am
are right
now.
now? I can tell by the ceiling.
Yeah, this it looks
It looks attic-y. It
attic-y.
looks amazing. I think your kitchen's my favorite room in your house too.
Oh, thank you.
It's so like what's how would you describe the style of your house?
It is eclectic, probably would be
That's
a
what I
good
would
style.
say.
So we had a mid-century modern house before, which I think that phrase
Also
itself is very
amazing.
overdone, but very amazing. So, but our actual house was built in the 50s. So this one was built in 1925. So we
Oh, wow.
renovated it like a whole shebang. And we tried to go back with a style that was period specific, but also current. So nothing overly trendy. Like the tile size, we picked everything kind of small that could have been original, even though we were redoing it, and kept the color palette pretty historically accurate. But it's not like a traditional historical style at all. There's a lot of
Right.
stuff
It's a lot of
sprinkled in.
funky, eclectic stuff going on. Was it just such a fun project?
I'd
I
like to
mean,
say yes.
besides
I
the
was pregnant.
chaos.
I was
Ugh.
pregnant the whole, we found out right before we closed, I was pregnant and we moved in. It was supposed to be like a 3 month renovation and we moved in the night before I went into labor with our second
Oh,
kid. And he
you
was two and
moved
a half
in the
weeks
night before
early.
you went into
I
labor?
slept here one night.
Oh
And
my
he was two and a
gosh.
half weeks early, and we had a video project due, and my husband just kept going, "You cannot go into labor." And I was like, "I don't think
Oh
I get to
no.
choose." Yeah. When I went to the hospital, it was like 2 hours he was here. Yeah. It
No
was fast.
way.
Yep.
Did you get an
Yeah.
epidural?
I did barely. I was like,
Jeez,
TI
so fast.
warning. I was like throwing up. Because I was in so much pain.
I always throw up when I'm in
Yeah.
labor.
I had never done it before, but I went didn't go in till I was like already at like a five or a six. And so they basically were like, "You probably won't feel the epidural." And I was like, "We're gonna try." But I probably would have been, all my friends who haven't had an epidural have said by the time you're at like a six or seven, it's
Why
just
bother?
more of that. And I think when you're in that painful of labor, everything is kind of like a car wreck where it like all happens so fast. But even though it took a long time, you're kind of out of sorts. So I like to think I could have done it, but I didn't.
But like,
Yeah.
if you're not prepared for it, like, oh man.
It was answering the questions. The worst part of all of it was answering the questions they
Like,
have
they
to
just
ask you in
keep
the hospital
asking
and they
you.
need you verbally
They're
to
like, rate your
answer.
pain. You're
No,
like,
it was
20.
things like, "What's your birthday? What is the?" It was like checking me in, and it was like 27 questions. And I was like nodding and shaking my head. And they were
You're
like, "I need
like,
a
I
verbal
can't
answer from you."
speak.
And I wanted to, like,
Oh
anyway, yeah. So my house renovation
gosh.
was more
Laborious.
stressful, yeah, laborious. Like the smell of drywall made me feel nauseous the whole first part. So there's things that I look at now and I'm like, I was just kind of like, "Yeah, whatever. It's fine. Paint it white. I don't
Doesn't
care.
matter.
Grout, whatever.
Just let us move
Faucet, get it from Lowe's." Yeah.
in.
But I can go back and change that stuff now if I
Was it
want.
worth it though?
Yes. On the flip side, if you
It
can
was
make
worth
it
it.
like a year out, worth it.
There you go, Steph. It's gonna be worth it.
It's gonna be worth it.
Yep.
The market's great, right?
Okay. Hobbies. Do you have a favorite hobby?
Fun story about our podcast. My husband had just told me I should get a hobby, or that I needed a hobby when Katie, my podcast co-host, she told me that we should do a podcast together because we both were kind of just like the chatty, chit-chatty back and forth. I
So
don't know. I
fun.
don't want to say like funny ones because I'm
You're
sure it can
hilarious. You
cross
can
into
say
annoying
that.
very quickly.
No, I
We
love it.
always would chat back and forth fast, and so we had a lot in common. And so, I signed on for that. And so he was probably like, "I didn't mean that as a hobby." But so I would say podcasting is kind of my hobby. Other than that, crafting. I like to do little crafts, but like simple crafts. I don't do the long
Big
weaving something
projects.
for 4 hours. I just don't have time with little kids. It was a phase in my life that is closed. Maybe it will reopen at some point.
Yeah. That's why old ladies do it. They don't
That's why old ladies
babies.
Do it, right? And they just knit baby shoes and think about having babies back when time has passed. It's a terrible cycle.
You can't win.
Yeah.
That's so fun. Your podcast is just you guys have such good chemistry.
Well, we're friends in real life, but thank you. It's
like we're hanging out with you.
That's what we try to do. So
you did it.
We did it. We found you guys.
Yeah. Yes.
If you guys haven't checked out Skillshare yet, you need to. You can learn about pretty much any creative field from the best of the best. And one thing I love about Skillshare is that you don't have to pay per class. You just get a membership and you have access to all of their classes. And it's self-paced, so you can start as many classes as you want. You don't have to finish anything. You can jump around. If you want to brush up on any of your skills or learn something new, Skillshare is a really great place to do that. You can get 40% off an annual membership at the link in our show notes.
So I have a question. So you said that you had stopped doing your podcast for a while and then
we did
back to doing it again.
We're back. It was not official. So when we started, we did like 75 weeks in a row. It was like every week. And then I think we started like, I am an Enneagram 1, if you're familiar. And mm-hmm. so it's like, we will be every week. And if we miss a week, it's over. I guess we quit the podcast. And Katie is always like, we make the rules. Yeah. So she was like, wait, why don't we go to like a season-based podcast where we can do 12 episodes, 10 episodes, whatever, and then have a season like a television show and then take a break and then come back for a new season. So around 75, we were like, I guess that's carry the one 6 seasons. And then we took like a little bit of a break and then came back for season 7 and have been doing it that way. So between season 9 and season 10 – there was a 2-year break, which also happened to be 2020. Childcare ceased to exist. I remember we were on a big group text thread with my girlfriends. And when we found out spring break was like staying closed for another week, and we were like, how are we going to do it? How are we going to survive another week? They've just been gone a week for spring break. And then it happened for a whole year.
We're like, 2 weeks?
2 weeks. How will we do it?
Staying home?
Yeah, I don't know if we can handle it mentally. So, and I think with everything that happened, even outside of COVID, it was just a big time. Our podcast is very lighthearted and chatty. Mm-hmm. And I think we both felt like we have nothing to add to the conversation at this point. Like, we didn't feel like at that point the world needed like more voices and opinions from us at that point. And so I think both of us were just kind of like, we're tired. We have no childcare. We have nothing to say. Mm-hmm. And we're tired. And then we tried to come back like a year into the break, and then it
didn't work
into 2 years, but we make the rules, right?
Yeah.
Lucky,
and I feel like that was such a time where, yes, I'm still here.
You're still here.
I feel like it was such a time where if you felt this pressure, if you were going to put yourself out there, you had to address what was going on.
Yeah.
But also, we didn't want our entertainment to be everything that was going on. Like the shows who were just like,
absolutely
wearing masks. I'm like, no,
I know.
No, I need to escape from this world.
When the morning show brought like COVID into it, my husband and I were like, we don't want to see what we lived through.
What
we
want to
pretend it doesn't exist. Yeah. And at least this is our getaway time from it.
Yeah. It was a hard time to be
putting
yourself in front of people, and it was a lot of pressure.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's the word. So I think a lot of people like to listen to our podcast to kind of like kill time, dare I say. So it probably would have been great to keep going, but honestly, the childcare thing was the main. We have 6 kids between the two of us, so.
Yeah.
It was hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you're back.
Thank you.
Was it hard to come back after 2 years?
It wasn't hard. Like, we felt like it hadn't been 2 years, but there were like some things I was out of practice on, like the editing. We switched up where we were recording. We kind of took back only the things that we wanted from it. So we've always said for the podcast, it started as our hobby. We both have jobs we love. We are fine if our podcast makes money, but at this point, we're not relying on it for income. And it's, we don't care to, we don't care to put the time in to make it that at this point. And we just know, like, we could probably figure out ways to make more money at it. And maybe we will one day, but, but we didn't want it to feel like another job, 'cause we have other jobs we also love.
Right.
So when we came back, we were like, we like recording in person. So can we figure out how we can record in person, where we pick like a couple days a month, we get together and we record in my attic together, because that's more fun for us.
It's so schedule wise.
Yeah. It's easier to do it separately for schedule. Mm-hmm. But what we like is spending time in person together, recording. It's more fun for us. So
yeah, there's better energy to feed off each other.
Yeah.
We've less only had awkward one pausing in-person interview, 'cause she lived close to my house. I'm like, this is nice, but it was nice. Hard with kids to schedule like that. And it's just so easy to hop on.
Yeah. That's why. Yeah. The creative entrepreneurs who are also moms is kind of our target audience. But I think that that's the hard part. But also I think what listeners appreciate is because we're all just kind of struggling through life together.
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
Relatable.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, I'm going to wipe my camera because I feel like I'm slowly disappearing as the sun is moving.
A little better. I had turned with my window and you couldn't see me. I look like an angel.
Whenever I have a window behind me with my hair, I look bald. My hair is just completely see-through. Okay, last question, get to know you question,
rapid fire question, rapid
fire, dare I say. What shows are you watching right now?
Okay, right now we're watching, have either of you seen Baskets with Zach Galifianakis?
No.
Oh my goodness, heard of that. Okay, so I think there's like 4 to 6 seasons out. It's a comedy, but it's like, it's also I don't even want to use the word heartfelt, but there's great character development where like you get to know them. They're still serious, kind of like Ted Lasso has some serious moments, but honestly, personally, I think Ted Lasso can go like a tiny bit cheese sometimes. Mm-hmm. So this is like less laugh tracky. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And it's very obscure, like plot line. He's a clown, a French trained clown, but it's just kind of like his life. And it has Louis C.K. Louis Armstrong. Louis C.K. is one of the creators or whatever. But okay. Louis Armstrong, the comedian?
Yeah.
You know him? He has like the teeth with the gap in it. And he's like overweight comedian. You might be too young for him. But he's like a comedian. But he plays the mom of Zach Galifianakis' character. And he's so good. I think he's won like Emmys for it. Like it's so good. That's your homework. Baskets.
Where do you find it? Where do you watch it on?
My IT director, aka husband, is in charge of the connecting and the finding of the shows. You could Google it, even though that always makes you sound like a jerk when you're like, Google it. But I don't know. I genuinely don't know. It's on some streaming service. We may have purchased it for like $12. Yeah, but it's worth it. So good.
Cool. We have so many. I don't even know what streaming services we have right now, because we'll start like, we'll just do a month trial. And then we lose track of our trials. Yeah. And now we just have all of them.
our trashy indulgence that we watch together, because normally we just watch like serious shows that are like intense, but I think 2020 has made my husband, normally likes all those, but he's kind of like, I just want like something that's not reality. It's not high stress. There's not like a bunch of death. So we're also watching Married at First Sight, and we've never watched it before. It's that reality show. Our guilty pleasure. And we're going back watching like all of the old seasons. And sometimes we'll watch that, and it's painful and interesting all at the same time.
Oh, love that. You got to have shows like that. in your lineup every once in a while.
Yeah, sometimes you just need to feel a little better about your own life. Like, we knew each other before we got married, and we're going to be
so
great.
So grateful.
We're going to be great.
Okay, awesome. So let's dive in. Do you want to give us a little background on what you do?
Sure.
Who is Shaylee Murphy?
That's a loaded question. I feel like I need therapy. I've never gone to therapy, but we can start it right now. I probably need it. Every time I hear someone talk about it, I'm like,
Yes.
Yeah, sounds like something I could benefit from, but.
Yeah. Not qualified, but we can pretend.
You know, you should just say you're a therapist and then I'll just start sending you money.
I am a therapist.
Sorry to all therapists out there. I was just kidding. I was not saying fake it. There's degrees involved, schooling. So I am born and raised Springfield, Missouri, Midwest, third largest city in Missouri, if you're curious. Springfield is like not too big, but I say small enough to where it's a good town to raise your kids, but big enough to where you're not socially awkward when you travel other places.
Mm.
But I don't know if that's true because I'm from here, so I could be very socially awkward when I travel other places.
You seem normal.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a very neutral accent. I went to college here at Missouri State, majored in interior design, met my husband, got married my senior year like a crazy person of college, asked for an extra long fall break to go on my honeymoon, 21. Nice. And then we worked together. My husband started shortly. He was working in video production when we got married, but then he quit his full-time job and went out to start his own business like 6 months after we got married. Mm-hmm. And I graduated college in 2009, which was hot into the 2008 crash of houses, et cetera. And with an interior design degree, that wasn't a great time. So I started my own business, air quotes, right away, because no one was hiring. And I worked for my dad's company. I worked various random jobs, and eventually he started getting busy enough to where I quit my full-time job too, gave our parents a heart attack. We've always been the little free-spirited. My mom said we're like bunnies in a field that are like munching on grass, and there's like a big wolf right behind you, like slobbering, and we're just like munching on the grass, like don't even see it. And we hop away and don't know how. I was like, thank you, I guess. I don't know. That was meant to be good, to be the dumb, dumb bunny, but here we are. So then I started probably about 11 years ago working with him full time. And I have more of an A-type personality. So I do the contracts, I do the bidding, I do the taxes. And when I say I do the taxes, that has now evolved into I meet with our CPA who does our taxes. And I meet with a bookkeeper and get her what she needs to do our bookkeeping. But I don't physically have to do that anymore. So that's nice. Help manage the contractors, project management, keep everything moving. And then I obviously assist on shoots and kind of do, I guess, a producer. It sounds kind of like I'm a producer, but technically that's the term of what my role is on shoots.
You own it, girl.
I know. It's so, I just feel like I'm a video producer. Sounds so like I am like shooting music videos in a garage or something, but a producer could be everything from like ironing a pair of pants in the back closet to like bossing everyone around. So there's varying levels, but you get the thing done is kind of the idea.
Awesome. So your husband does like the shooting and editing?
Yes. He is more of an introvert. He says he's not quiet. He just doesn't talk if he doesn't have anything to say. So we both have really great like working relationship because, I mean, not always, you know, sometimes we bicker, but he stays in his lane and he trusts me to stay in my lane. And if he gets complimented and someone says, oh, Jonathan, that video was beautiful, blah, 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 I am yay. Like we, you know, if he gets complimented, it's like I got complimented. And if someone says, I'm really great, he's like, yay. And I think that's one of the keys to working together is that there's not like an internal competition where I'm like, oh, I'm just the wife and, you know, I'm very empowered to make decisions in the business and do my part without interference. Have
your set roles.
Yeah. And he's really respectful of that. So I think sometimes I don't feel like I'm working for him, even though technically on paper, he's the main owner, but I can sign all the paperwork or whatever.
You're the producer.
I'm the video producer, so watch out. Yeah. Clients know who to email if they want a response. But when I started, awesome. It was very like, no one wants your wife to email them back. They emailed you. And I had to work through that a little bit because it was like, I don't want to email them back. They emailed you. And
but you're a team.
Yeah, we're a team. It's because I came on and they had, I don't know, it was a confidence thing. I think it was an experience thing. I didn't know the answers. But when you're a team, it's really easy. You don't have to know all the answers because you can say, great question. Let me check with Jonathan. I'll get back to you. And at the same way, he has me now where he can be like, I don't know how much additional that's going to be because that wasn't in the contract. Let me talk to Shaylee. I'll have her get back to you. So we both kind of have each other to take a step back and, you know, confirm information with before, which if it's just you, you can get put on the spot a lot easier. So it's kind of another nice thing. So,
yeah, that's really nice. So when you joined him in the video production company, you continued to do interior design.
I did. So I've always had an interior design business license. I have not always had a website. I have not always, I would say, never actively tried to get clients. I think one time in 2016, it was a really slow year for video. And I think I posted one time on Facebook, I'm accepting new clients, which is so like, I have a few slots available in my zero client lineup.
Now booking.
Now booking for 2023. Just kidding. It was in 2016. But I think that's literally the only like time I was even like, hey, clients. I think I got zero clients from that one Facebook post, probably because no one could see it because Facebook. But I have not, I've been pretty much word of mouth.
Nice.
And then I've always had clients though, but it's people find you, you know, it's like interior designer is kind of an elusive thing. And then there's a lot of firms in town, but there's a whole wide range of people who don't want to go to an interior design firm or an architecture firm where they're somewhere between hiring a guy on Facebook Marketplace to redo their bathroom tile and like a whole home renovation with a contractor, but not an architect or design firm. They can hire someone where they can just use them hourly as needed. So that's kind of where I niche myself. I'm not looking to fill 40 hours a week doing it. But I really enjoy, you know, having clients that need me 2 to 5 hours a week where I help them keep everything moving forward, but I'm not like staging their whole house out. So that's kind of where I'm at now. Yeah.
So I'd love to hear like the process, your interior design process from like meeting with clients, and do you help them like hire contractors? I'm disappearing again. What is happening?
Disappearing. She's an angel.
Okay. Sorry.
No, that's a good question. So it's evolved a little bit. When I started, which my rates are on the website, so I'll be open and honest with everything. When I started and I was in college, I charged $30 an hour. And that was my professor was like, I think I asked her because someone asked me while I was in college and she was like, I charge $30 an hour. And so that's kind of where I started. But I would do, I think it was just $30 an hour and I would stop like every, if they just wanted me to run by their house for 20 minutes, I'd probably be like 0.275 of an hour, you know, or whatever. So as I went, I got a little smarter as I went, just like it is with everything. You learn a little bit each job and you kind of tweak that contract template as you go. So then I started doing a minimum of 1 hour if I'm going to show up at your house. So if you need me to swing by for 5 minutes to pick out like whatever, that's fine. But if I'm going to drive all the way to your house and we're going to meet for like a one-off, then it's a minimum of an hour. My ongoing clients, I don't do that with. One of them is just up the street now and her whole house is gutted. So I stop by there all the time. I'm not billing her an hour. If she's listening, she'll be like, what? I don't charge her an hour every time I like stop in to like look at something to see how it's doing. But if it's a new client, because what you'll have is someone will be like, I just need paint colors and like, oh, and look at my kitchen and oh, and do this. And then it's 45 minutes. But mentally, you had to get ready. You had to look good. You had to mentally think, like, prepare for it. I'm not real fly by the seat of your pants. So I want to, like, mentally get into it, find childcare, drive to the place, meet the new personality that you've never met before, do the whole deal. So at that point, depending on what your hourly rate is, it may not be worth it to do those random one-offs.
Yeah.
To be continued where I'm at now. So, so then I started, I think when I graduated college, I upped it to 50. And every time I've upped my hourly rate, I have left like grandfathered in my existing clients. And I've upped it multiple times.
Nice.
So what I usually do is like if I have a $30 an hour client and I up my price to 50, I do it for just new clients. So for like a year or whatever, any new clients, I start them at 50. I keep my $30 an hour people at 30. But then when I went from 50 to 75, I emailed all my $30 an hour people and said, hey, I've raised my rates twice now since you've been here. You're still grandfathered into a lower price, but I'm going to move you to the next step. So then I moved my $30 an hour people to 50, which gets a little laborious. In there, I started having kids too in the 50 to 75 split. And I think that's when I started saying like, I don't know if I have time for this for certain clients. And they had used me like all the way through. And at that point, people were like, I'll pay you whatever. I'll pay $100 an hour. Like, what do you like? It's, you don't have to like stair step me. So it was something hindsight. I probably didn't have to do that. I probably could have just been like, my rates are raising.
Yeah.
And people who can pay, people who are hiring an interior designer in general, especially if it's not like a huge job, if they can afford 30, they can probably afford 50. If they can afford 50, they can probably afford 75. For the most part, it's like a plumber. Like, I'm like, I don't know what they're going to charge me, $80, $175. Like, I just need a plumber. Like, it's kind of like in that like obscure range of price.
Right.
So then I'm now $100 an hour, but I have a couple clients that are still at 75. But what I've changed is I have the hour minimum, but if it's a new client, I have like a creative consultation fee. So the mental, I don't want to say, use like a word like strain, but the mental load of onboarding energy, a new client energy. There you go. It's so much more. Like, would I rather work with the same client for 50 hours or work with five clients for 10 hours each? I'd rather work with the same client for 50 hours because you got you got the ebb and the flow.
The
you understand their
yeah,
you know their communication style, you know, all of that. So what I started doing is a creative consultation. So if a new client contacts me and they're like, we're doing some stuff at our house, we'd love you to just walk through and give us your thoughts. I say, for one meeting, up to 2 hours. If it's 1 hour, it's 1 hour. If it's 2 hours, it's 2 hours. Anywhere in between. Plus a follow-up style guide, which is not order this couch. I measured your living room and this couch would be perfect. It is a, here's a couch that would look cool or one like it. May or may not have a link associated
with it. Some ideas.
Ideas. It's a very, it's a guide you in the right direction. And I charge, when I started those, it was $250. Now they're at $350 to $500. ask me in a couple months. but it's basically like you get a consult with me. We can walk through every room in your whole house. I'm not writing really notes down much, but I'm like word vomiting all my thoughts. You're asking me all your questions on the whole space. Then I compile my thoughts. I send you a basic color outline of what you could paint, what general light fixture outline, style of furniture, dining table, and then any like thoughts I have. And then I send it to you. And at that price rate, you can just take that and do it yourself. Text me if you have any questions. And then at that point, they can use me as needed hourly. So that has been kind of nice. And then like if someone needs a floor plan sketched, those are all like priced per thing. Cause then it turned into, well, what if someone needs a kitchen? I was sketching like, you know, kitchen design plans in the creative consultation. And then I was like, oh, this feels because I'm a perfectionist. So I'm like really like sketching them out and like crumbling it up and sketching them out, which I should, you know, I'm a hand drawer. I use Canva for the style guides and lay them out more, I don't know, fancy. But yeah, so I've kind of learned as I go. So right now I have a rate for a creative consultation, which is my onboarding of a new client, and then hourly as needed. And that has been for me where I'm at and the amount of time that I'm doing interior design, that's worked really well. I also don't upcharge clients. So if I have a trade account, I have a trade account like Anthropology, Crate and Barrel, West Elm, CV2, like all the places, you can get them pretty much anywhere. If you have a design business and a business license and a whatever. So I just get those and then pass that discount on to my clients as a service, like
a perk.
Yeah, a perk for working with me. But it keeps it, you know, maybe if I was going after it 40 hours a week, I was doing flat rate jobs, maybe I would take the commission. A lot of designers make commission. I feel like for me and my life and my personality, like I don't want them to feel like I'm specking carpet from this shop because I get a 10% kickback. And then if they find it somewhere else, I'm like, I don't know. I love the carpet from over here, though. Because it's better.
You'd rather have a good relationship.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of – it feels like it could get conflict of interest-y. Or if they find something like online and I'm like, I like the one from Crate and Barrel better because I'm upcharging it. So not to say never, but as of now, I'm not going after large – when I say large jobs, I have a lot of whole home guts right now that actually feel like really large jobs. But for me, that's what's worked well. And I think that people, friends that I have who wanted to get into interior design or have been interested, they're all thinking like the firms. And they're like, I have to have a library full of like books and spec work. And I have to have like all these contacts with these different, you know, agencies and a tax ID number to be reselling everything. And I'm like, you can do what works for you. If someone asks me for a 3D rendering of their kitchen, I say, I have a great friend who is awesome at those. I can refer you to. She charges X. I don't do those. I don't enjoy them. Like, I could do them. I went to school for it. Like, I probably don't know the program anymore. I'd have to learn it, but I've chosen to not offer those. You don't have to offer every service to everyone.
Right. You do. You can make it what you want it to be.
Yeah.
And ask for what you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So are most of your clients close to where you live?
I have done a few like online type services. I had like one person just wanted paint colors for the exterior of her house. She sent me photos. I just charged a flat rate, sent her back. I actually did like an iPhone edit very poorly where it was like, this is what it would look like, kinda. Based on my color wheel. But yeah, so I've done some of that. I know like The Expert, this is not a plug for them. I do not work for them. I wish, because, you know, their designers, like, I think it's like $600 to $1,200 for a 55-minute meeting, which is awesome. They're like fancy. They're like the industry leading, like some of them are like famous designers that design for like famous stars in California and that kind of thing.
Celebrity
designers. The ones that you follow on Instagram that have 200,000 followers that you like, you can do virtual consults with them, which is really cool. I think some designers even have them look over their plans. So that's something that like in the future is really interesting, especially with now that the whole world has had a crash course on Skype and Zoom and all of the ways to do everything. Like, I feel like everyone who's been working from home with kids is like, finally, everyone understands now.
Yeah.
Every grown man really nice. Now knows what it's like to work from home with kids there. So I never have to apologize for a toddler screaming in the background ever again.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I might get into more of that later. I have a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old. So I feel like right now I'm at like a good place. Yeah. So I wouldn't say no to it, but I don't do a lot. I'm not like actively marketing digital consultations right now.
Yeah. It sounds like you have a really awesome process that works for you. I want you to come to my house.
Yeah. Are you both located in the same place?
We're in Utah. Oh, yeah. We're about an hour from each other.
Where in Utah again?
Salt Lake area.
It's beautiful. Oh, Utah's. Every time we go somewhere like that, we're always like, why Missouri? Why do we live in Missouri?
Missouri's beautiful too.
Well, when you get the like houses. Southern, yeah. Well, I like Missouri. I like Missouri. Yeah. There's some beautiful places in the U.S.
Yeah, Utah's great. do you follow Leonard Cottage?
I don't.
So she does. I don't know if she still does them, but she does exteriors for people. She does like Photoshop.
Ooh,
mock-ups.
That's who I need. I need a her in my life.
I know. It's really cool how she's structured it, because she'll just open up like, I'm going to like open up 10 spots for like these Photoshop mock-ups, and then people will just give her their email and send her a photo, and it'll be like, this is like, we have this awkward exterior. It's so ugly. We don't know what to do. And she'll just Photoshop like, well, you could do this landscaping and like, it doesn't look realistic, cool. But it just shows them like,
yeah, it's a rendering.
Colors. And yeah, she just so does smart. Like this Photoshop rendering.
That's so smart.
Yeah.
Ooh, I should
stuff like
her.
That. It's just so cool. All the options there are, like you were saying, to work like with anybody all over, anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world.
It's so cool.
And I found a lot of my clients are very, have like good style, I feel like, because they've picked me because they think my style matches like,
you
kind
match,
of their style,
yeah.
Which I can do. Not all my clients are my same style. So I work with like some 60-year-old men who I have to be like, the TV in your living room can't be 80 inches. It's too big. They're like, I need two TVs to see all the games at the same time.
Like, make it look good. Okay.
Yeah. Make it art. But all that to say, a lot of my clients have really good taste, to where I feel like I am their like security blanket, where they're like, what about this tile? And then we talk through pros and cons. I say yay or nay. We pick, but sometimes one of my clients right now, I feel like she's like designed half the house, because she's like, what about these two really awesome tiles that I found? And I'm like, those look great. Like, let's, you know, look through options or whatever. But she's like, it's a very collaborative process. If sometimes you're like mediator, where the husband and wife are just stuck on something and they won't tell you who wants what, but they're like, what do you think?
It's like,
no pressure.
Yeah. You decide.
Yeah. But it's hard. Like, I have to force myself to be very decisive, because I'm very vocal, but I also don't want to pressure anyone into anything, but I'm there being paid for my ideas. So I try to be, I don't know, but at the end of the day, I'm not living there. So sometimes they'll say, well, what would you do? Like, if it was my house, this is what I would do, but it is your house. And if you want to vomit at the idea of white shaker cabinets in that area, even though I would maybe do white, you do you, because you're living here and I don't, you know, I'm not living there. So it's kind of it's a process of helping them find what they truly like, as well as what my opinion is of what they should do.
Yeah. And it's so valuable to have somebody to like bounce ideas off of, because you can just go in the circles of like this or that, or maybe I've never thought about this, or
and I always will say, if we ever have a meeting and we're not really getting anywhere, I'll be like, there are a lot of really good ideas. We could sit for 3 hours and think of good ideas. Our job is to find the best idea and to make a decision and move forward so that we can
and
keep puzzle piecing in the design.
So I had a question. I love what you said about how you're being paid for your ideas. How did you get to the point where you said, I'm not exactly delivering anything here, but my ideas are valuable? How did you get to that point?
That's a good question. Yeah. I do feel like I've moved into more like consulting, which that's like, if you do creative work and you can get in the place where you're doing more of like a consulting, there's not like a deliverable, where you roll in with a tape measure and a brain and you just chat it up with all your word vomit for 2 hours. And they're like, oh, you helped me so much. And you high five them in 2019.
And they're just hanging on your every word.
You get in the car and you drive away. and you're done. That's the best. So I think confidence built over time doing it and starting, even if you're doing it imperfectly, and just realizing, and it's the fake it till you make it, but sometimes that can be taken like people go in overly confident. Like, you know, if you're just graduating from college, correct. Mm-hmm. If you're 21 and you just graduated from college and you have zero experience, don't be like, I'm $175 an hour. I'm a genius. And I've looked online
because
and someone
I
in California
said so.
Makes. Right. I think a little humility goes a long way. It's okay to say you don't know. It's okay to get stuck on a question and say, you know what, I'm going to think about this and I'm going to get back with you on my thoughts. I'm not one way or the other right now on it. I think that goes a long way, but it's just kind of trial and error, and your confidence gets built as you go and you get smarter. Like, there's so much you learn from just physically doing the thing that you don't mm-hmm. learn in college, because I was, you know, making up my client, making up my design, making up how great it was, and then using, there was no budget. I mean, there was no, we would kind of make fake budgets, but even that, it's so like not real world.
Right.
So until you've gone into a house and they're like, we can't paint anything. We can't change the floor. We can't make it better. Those are actually kind of fun, because I think that takes more talent sometimes. When you have endless budget, you're starting from the studs. Anyone should be able to make that great. Because again, or like the person that walks into like, I don't know, Restoration Hardware, and they're like, one of everything. Give me one of everything from that floor model that another designer already put together. That doesn't take a lot of skill. You're just spending money.
There's no challenge
on stuff. But when it's like space planning, reorganizing how a kitchen was from the 1970s and piecing together, like, you know, taking a little from this space and a little from that space and figuring out how to make it look intentional, like it's not a remodel job. That's kind of the stuff that takes more skill and I think is more interesting, because it's like a puzzle. But even if it's just reworking someone's house on a budget and trying to figure out what's the most we can do for the most impact on the least budget, with utilizing a lot of the stuff you have, that's kind of, I don't know, fun. And a lot of my clients fall into that category as well.
Yeah. So how did you get your first client? Because you said you've never, except for that 2016 Facebook
it was
post.
A picture. It was a picture of a lamb jumping in the air. And it said something like leaping into spring. Oh, this is an embarrassing moment. I'm pretty sure no one saw it, and I've never talked about it since then. I'm probably turning red. Yeah, it was a real low point, even though the sheep was like, the lamb was really nailing it as far as my
brand. I need
to
follow you on Facebook and go
find it. Well, find I actually it. Went, sure, I had not updated my Facebook in like years, and I started, so my personal house remodel, I have friends that have a blog, and it was featured on their blog, and it's a popular blog.
Beautiful
so,
mess.
Yes, a beautiful mess. And so Emma lives up the street, and they featured my last house on it too. And then this house was like a whole remodel, so they did before and afters. And I think that got me a lot of even local jobs, just because friends, once someone sees it, and then it makes it like, oh, could we do that here? Could we do that there? So that helped. I mean, getting published in our local magazine, I did some stuff for that. So anytime you can do that, it helps get your name out there. But my first client, I believe, was a friend of my dad and sister's, a business acquaintance. And he was going through a divorce and needed like help in the house, which any man going through a divorce who needs a designer, it's more like, what color towels? And you're like, gray, charcoal gray will get you very far. So it was a lot like that, but then he built an office building. So I worked with an architecture firm and helped do the CAD drawings and do the whole infill. There was a whole office infill, and I was like in college working for $30 an hour. But I think part of the reason he hired me is because I was cheap. I think for him, he was like, she's cheap. That'll be way cheaper than using a quote real interior designer. But that gave me a lot of experience.
Yeah, that sounds like a good experience project.
Yeah, but I knew them. It's probably going to be a friend of a friend or a family member, or something like that when you get started. And that's okay, because it kind of alleviates a little bit of the pressure of like a stranger, or someone who, I mean, if you're just getting started, maybe you want some clients that are like friends who pay you not a lot or for free, who you just do a consultation with and you figure out what went well, what didn't go well, what did they actually need, what was helpful, what wasn't. And then, you know, tweak that, build up your confidence, figure out how you're going to deliver if you're delivering a product at the end, and then take that and, you know, look at it like you're taking a class that you're paying for, but you're just doing work for free.
I heard something one time someone said, I tell all my friends and family, I will do something for them once for free. And then after that, they pay.
That's a great idea.
She got a lot of experience doing the, you know, the first project free, but then the recurring business with those people that got paid for.
That's really smart.
That's a really cool model.
And Katie and I talk about that.
That's a good way to set the expectation for family. Like,
well, family.
She always does it for free.
Family, right?
Yeah, and friends. Yeah.
Well, and I always kind of say, like, to friends, because, like, if a friend is like, do you like this bench? Do you think that'll work in my entryway? I'm not like, I'm offended. How dare you? Ask me.
That's $75. The
couch. You're like, Kate, I'm starting my timer right now.
Right. I'm like, you're on the clock. Any other questions? But a good rule of thumb that I've said when my friend is like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be, blah, 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 blah. I always say, if you have like random questions that maybe would be something that I could charge for, if you are involved in my life, if we text message, we see each other in a relationship way, in a friendship way, not like we were friends in high school and I haven't talked to you in 10 years way, but in the, like, if you are actively in my life right now, you can ask me whatever. I'm not offended. Like, but I do have friends that have hired me to come over and do an actual thing. And they'll always usually say, you know, I want to hire you to come to my house. And maybe I'll give them a discount. Like, you could do an across the board friends and family discount if you would like, that you offer, to where it's kind of the same. But my brother's my dentist. My sister has a technology business. And we're all kind of weird entrepreneur family. So we all kind of have this 50% off full rate type deal.
You've like discussed it.
And yeah. So we've done video for my brother-in-law, video for my brother-in-law's company. We do video for my brother's dental practice. He does our dental work. So we have to, you have to figure out something. Otherwise you're all just keeping like a never ending spreadsheet of like IOUs.
Yeah.
So it's usually better if everyone's service is valued around the same rate. Like, my brother-in-law just paid us because he makes a percentage of what we invest. So that's a very obscure amount that he's getting paid based on what we're investing. You know, so he was like, I'm just paying you for it. And then he'll charge us whatever. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. But that is, it's a slippery slope. I think that's,
it is.
I've shown up at someone's house before where they were like, had me over, and then like, let's hang all my artwork. You're like, yay!
Like, oh, there's just this artwork here. That's weird.
That's the other thing. I hang a lot of artwork. And we didn't have like a hanging 101 class. I'm not like a laborer. I can hang artwork, but I'm probably...
You have an eye for where it should go, though.
I mean, yeah, but I can like Sharpie it for you. Don't ever Sharpie a wall. I'm just kidding. I can pencil it for you. But yeah, I've... And I'm an eyeballer. So I'm like, if they want to pay me to like have three holes behind every picture while I eyeball it, then... Okay.
Sure.
And then you feel weird. At some point, you're going to be in the master bedroom with your shoes off, standing on their bed with your sock feet. It always just feels weird.
Yeah. It's very intimate.
Yeah.
I feel like there's also with friends and family, there's with a lot of them, it's like they're doing me a favor by asking me to do it. Like, I could have asked somebody else, but I thought that you might want to do this business card for me.
It's for you.
I'm like,
it's for you.
Thank you.
And I've said that before to my sister when she was talking about different like rates, or like she found another place that would like do some video work or whatever less. And I'm like, hey, there is no obligation to like, if you get to the point where your time is at capacity, you doing a job at a discounted rate for someone, even if they are your family, is still your time that you're not charging full rate somewhere else. So there is no shame in being like, hey, if you need this done faster and cheaper, like I don't have time to give a discount to right now, but there is no hard feelings if you need to like use someone else's time. And usually 100% of the time they're like, oh, no, I still want to use you. Like they're usually kind of bluffing, a little bit, but and if they go use someone else, I mean, sometimes family and friends are the hardest clients to have.
I know. And that's, I almost go like the other way where I'm like, please, you do not have to hire me. Like even with the podcast, I'm like, nobody listen to it. It's okay. It's really okay. You don't have to.
My favorite, I met like a client or like a, it was like a 60-year-old, 50-year-old man. And he was like, and I can't wait to listen to your podcast and check that out. And I'm like, not our target market. Not our target market.
Like you'll love that episode. You can us talking about our
tell your wife
birth and
it's like there's one on cleft diapers. So you're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. So,
oh, that's so
also,
funny.
I would say take inventory once you get started and you get client like a few clients under your belt, maybe like a year or two in. Like look at it and think these are the clients I love, and these are the clients that are hard. And usually the cheaper the job, I hate to say it, but this goes video, interior design, whatever. The cheaper the job that you feel like you're kind of doing a wink, wink, giving them a favor are usually the pickiest, most drawn out clients.
It's so true.
And I don't know why it is, honestly. I think it's that it's.
They just trust you more.
I don't know. It takes a lot out of me. So, and don't be afraid to interview the client before you take them on and say, I just want to do a phone consultation to make sure it's a good fit for you, make sure I'm what you're looking for, and that it's a good fit both ways. So I've done that too, to make sure like, here's what I offer. Here's the type of clients I take on. What are your expectations? What are you looking for? Cause I had one that was like, she's a millionaire and she has homes all down by the lake and and I'm like, she sounds like someone I don't want to have texting me all the time, you know, even if it's like the money, I'm like, I don't want like someone who's high maintenance. Like I don't want a high maintenance client.
It's gonna be worth it. Yeah.
I want someone who's like, oh, awesome. I can use you for 2 hours and then not need you for a week or 2 weeks or whatever they need. You know, that's kind of the like sweet spot for me. But that's for me. It could be different for everyone.
I have noticed that too. Like my hardest clients were the ones where I'm like, oh, I'll do them a favor. And because they're like just starting and I'll help them out and give them a lower rate. And then they just want me to bend over backwards. And the more I charge, the less they ask of me. They're just like happy to pay it. And
well, and sometimes people value more. They value you more and your work more because you like just made up a higher number and they're like, oh, she must be really
good. She knows what she's talking about. We don't need to like,
which is so weird. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, don't do it too soon. 21-year-olds. Nothing against 21-year-olds.
Don't charge $175 an hour. Don't do it too
soon. Don't get too inflated. I mean, some of them. I mean, if you're a famous person, whatever.
Which I have totally done that too, where I'm like, I don't want to do this project, so I'm just going to give them this ridiculous
they
number
always say
what
yes.
it would be worth.
They always say yes. We've done that before. We had a client for a video we wanted to break up with, and we were like, let's just shoot a crazy number. And they were like, sounds good. And then we ended up having to break up with them later. Yeah.
But at that point, you're like, the money's worth it. Like, this is how much it would cost for me to actually do this. And they pay it, you're like, okay, fine. Like,
well, and you know that it was a good price if the client says yes and feels like it's a good price and is happy to pay it, and you aren't like, oh, I have to do this work now. Like, you're happy to do it because you're like, yeah, I valued my time, and I'm like, clickety-clack-clack, I'm happy to put the work in because that was a good price. Like, then that's the sweet spot.
I do feel like I always get to that point in a project, though, where I'm like, I did not charge enough for this, no matter the amount.
So some, as long as it's, if you're charging flat rates, which is what we do for video production, we don't do hourly, as long as it's an ebb and flow to where you win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
And they're not all, I didn't charge enough, because that means you should be charging more. Also, if you're getting 100% of the project proposals you put out, you're probably not charging enough. You should have some of them say no.
Yeah.
Which it stings a little bit, but if no one's saying no, you should probably be charging more. And then you'll do less work for the same amount of money because you're not getting all of the work, but your prices are a little higher.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Great advice. No.
Rant.
Great advice.
Money rant.
This is so good. I wish we could just keep talking for hours, but I don't want to take too much of your time.
I've got a Steph,
is there anything before we wrap up that you wanted to ask? Any other questions yet?
What is like your favorite part of these jobs that you have?
That was going to be my last question.
Yeah, perfect. That's okay. Well, it's like you guys should have a podcast together or something. You're on the same wavelength.
We should.
So I think, okay, favorite part and then like a tidbit of advice, because I was looking, okay, I was trying to think of like if I was starting out. So my favorite part, I run stressed naturally. I could stress if I stayed home. I always I don't know, the least fathomable thing would be like, what if I didn't even have an email? Some stay-at-home moms, they stay home and they don't even have an email. That's like, I don't know why my brain goes there if I'm ever feeling stressed.
No one could ever email me.
I would be unreachable. And then I'd go to one store and have to have an email to sign up for something.
You're like, but, just make it up. Use your middle school one.
There you go. Target card. Target debit card, man. So I think that anytime I get stressed out or feel overwhelmed, and it's usually something like dumb, like we're doing a preschool curriculum and video shoot, and I have to go back to Target to get a cardigan sweater for the little girl who's in it last minute, or I don't know, snacks for, I don't know, you name it, whatever I'm stressed about, something dumb. I think I could be in a cubicle and I'm getting to pick out an outfit for a 12-year-old and be paid well for it. And work out, be out, be in charge of myself. I'm my own boss. If I want to start at 7 a.m., if I want to start at 9 a.m., because I'm my own worst boss. But the fact that I get to do something that I genuinely enjoy, I get to work with my husband, I get to still do interior design, I get to do, it's like I've done like a choose your own adventure and like filled out all the parts that I like. And there's parts that are boring and sucky in every job. So there is the, you know, filling out the stuff for the accountant at the end of the year and filling out the, you know, bookkeeping every month and business insurance and workman's comp and all of the like adult stuff. But every job's going to have that. But I just try to tell myself like how cool that I get to do this random job that we kind of feel like we made up and we're like making a living at it. And it's gotten to where now I'm like, cause I always would be like, well, maybe we'll get one more year before it just like implodes and we have to go get real jobs, you know? But it's like, now I'm at the point where I'm like, we're 34 and 36. I feel like we can like pull this thing out. Like we've been going long enough. We have clients built up. We've like, I just feel like I was waiting for the year for it to implode. But my favorite part is probably just getting to do something that I love every day and not like getting to work for myself, which some people that would be their nightmare, but we love it. And then the advice I would give someone if they were starting out, again, I lean on the side of not confidence, like naturally or like self-deprecating or whatever. But even starting out, I think in video, because video is a very like you want to look cool world, whatever, all the directors and cinematographers and film, even though no one shoots on film anymore and everyone calls it film, whatever. We do too. But when we started, I feel like we'd be working on projects and like my highest level of like coolness would be like maybe one day we'll do music videos. Or like get to the level of being able to do, I don't know, Nate, you name it. But we've been very niched in like the nonprofit world. And I think that sometimes like now 10 years in, we're like, we're getting to do very meaningful videos that have like a purpose and are helping people in whatever different capacities and like fundraising for organizations that we believe in that are doing good things. And even though that may not like sound as cool when you're young, the older you get, just letting the journey and the course like lay out to where you realize like, oh, this is more life-giving than pumping out, I don't know, medical ads or whatever. Even though maybe it didn't sound as cool at the time, Seeing where we're at now is like, oh, I wouldn't have chosen it any other way. But yeah, I say some for the reels and some for the meals. So they're not.
Oh, I like that.
They're not, oh, cool, sexy. I'm going to post about it on Instagram. So good. But guess what? Sometimes the people doing only the cool projects that they want to post about on Instagram have to work at a coffee shop also their entire life, which is fine. If that's what you want to do, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, just kind of realizing it may not look exactly like my fairy tale, like marriage. It's not going to look exactly like your fairy tale brain envisioned.
Mine does. What are you talking about?
Shut your mouth, Lauren. I don't want to hear it. I'm
not familiar with.
Oh, you're like, hold on. My husband's made me a quiche. I've got to go. Oh.
I have a spread downstairs waiting for me for lunch.
He made me a charcuterie board. No, I don't know. Yeah, just I think lowering the expectations, letting the journey go where it is, and stop comparing yourself with everyone else. So,
I love it. Yeah. Such good advice. Shaylee Murphy, everyone.
Ah, it was so nice to meet you too, Steph and Lauren. It was a pleasure.
It was so good to meet you. I'm so glad your podcast is back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
You're awesome. You hopefully we can get podcast? Katie on too.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Give us your socials.
It doesn't matter. Okay, so Harp Creative is the name of our video production business. Shaylee Murphy Interior Design, which my Instagram is just at Shaylee Murphy. Weird name. You get your full name. And then Shaylee and Katie's Lemonade Stand is the name of our podcast. So my co-host is Katie Day, and she is cooler than me.
She's funny.
So she'll
– You're
she'll,
both equally cool.
Thank
in my
you.
Mind.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, Shaylee.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It was very flattering.
You're the best.
Aww.